Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Happy Sunday. I hope it's been a glorious one for you already. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. The show is Exploring Your Creative Genius, the show that believes that creativity is so important that I won't define it for you. I want you to create your own understanding of what it means to be creative. It's much more helpful for you to have your own dynamic, self-generated understanding of what it means to be creative than for me to tell you a definition of what it means to be creative. Folks, today is the fourth anniversary of this show. I was just in the studio with Kenny Dyke, and he quickly checked and concluded that, yes, indeed, today is the fourth anniversary. It's taken 157 shows to get there. Thank you so much for listening to any one of them. I appreciate it. I love doing this work. This work isn't work for me. It's a calling. My understanding of a calling is when your heart's delight fills a true need in the world, attends to a true need in the world. Clearly, the world benefits when more of us are more creative and entrepreneurial and innovative than not. And it is my heart's delight. I get to do so many things I love. And one of the things I get to do that I love, I'm going to do today, which is to share good news. I love sharing good news. I've got some really good news for you. It's all based on the recent discoveries into the biological changes that occur in our brains as we approach the age of 55. Those changes continue into our 50s, into our 60s. These changes collectively invite a creative renewal. Isn't that great news that the changes that occur in our brains and as we get into our 50s and into our 60s and into our 70s, those changes invite a creative renewal? Here's two major projects that I'll start with, and then I'll talk about a couple of others. Do you know, folks, what myelin is? M-Y-E-L-I-N. Once upon a time, in our sort of primitive understanding of the brain, we had the sense of gray matter. That's where the cognition occurred. We had a sense of there being white matter. We thought white matter initially was just sort of for structural integrity, protected the gray matter. We now know that white matter is myelin. Myelin is a protein and fatty substance. And what myelin does is it coats like insulation around an electric wire. Myelin coats the axons. I'll spell that one for you too, A-X-O-N, the axons that connect the neurons in our brain and send and receive the electrochemical signals from one neuron to the other. Again, like insulation on a wire, it protects it, but unlike insulation on a wire, a coat of myelin actually improves the performance of that axon. It both speeds it up and brings some really good integrity to that transmission. We're born with very, very little myelin. Very little. We experience somewhere between 5 to 7 waves of myelination throughout our life. The first wave occurs when we're around 2 or 3 years old. And that first wave focuses on exactly where that first wave should focus, and that is on our sensory and our motor control areas. And doesn't that make sense, right? That we would want our 2 and 3-year-old selves to have as much physical control as quickly as we can. And so that's one good reason why myelin focuses on motor control and improves the performance of that area. And also our sensory control areas. We certainly want a 2 or 3-year-old to have a better understanding of this world that they are walking through. What we also need to understand, folks, is that each time another layer, another wrap of myelin occurs around that axon, performance improves even more. So with the second and the third layer of myelin, performance improves even more. The first time this myelination occurs in our prefrontal cortex, which of course is the executive control area, that doesn't happen for the first time until late preteen, early teenage years. The last wave of myelination occurs around the age of 55, back to our underlying theme here. And the last couple of waves of myelination all focus on the prefrontal cortex. Again, each layer provides further performance improvement. This is why, folks, myelin is why we are urged to eat foods that are high in omega-3 fatty acids, because it appears that that fatty acid in omega-3 foods is very, very comparable, supportive of myelin, and can restore the myelin on our axons, renews and restores. So here's some places where you can get a lot of myelin. You can get myelin in fish, salmon, and mackerel are always listed at the very top in terms of omega-3 fatty acids. Sardines always comes in as a close third. That's my preferred, is number three, sardines, for two reasons. Number one is it is a highly sustainable harvest that we have figured out for sardines. And it's low; they're low enough on the food chain that you're not getting very much, if any, mercury, which you might get with salmon and mackerel. There's some plant-based omega-3 foods as well, chia seeds, flax seed, especially when it's ground, and walnuts. So this very specific brain change improves sending and receiving signals, and the gentleman who studied that, a UCLA neuroscientist who recently passed, Zeke Bartzakis, Dr. Bartzakis, he says, after having studied this phenomena of myelination, he said, it appears that there's a biological explanation for wisdom. Well, that is especially true when we add the second neuroscience research that I'm going to share with you. And this takes place just down the road. It was Dr. Cabeza at Duke University. And I apologize, folks. I always have to pause for a moment and let folks think for just a second about how cool it is that there's a neuroscientist whose last name is Cabeza. I love that. And so, of course, we understand that our brains have two hemispheres. And we understand generally, I think, that the left hemisphere is the linear, the logical, the analytical hemisphere, and also controls the right side of your body. The left hemisphere does. The right hemisphere of our body, which controls the left side of our body, is the imaginative, the creative, the spontaneous, the nonlinear functions take place there. Well, here's what Dr. Cabeza's research was all about, and I'll set this up really quickly and then we'll have a break. Dr. Cabeza recruited two groups. He recruited recent college grads and high-functioning seniors. He developed a series of high-level exercises, memory exercises, logic exercises, spatial exercises, problem exercises, and he had each group complete those exercises while their brains were being scanned. And when you come back from the break, I'll tell you what he found.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill, Exploring Your Creative Genius. In the first segment, I set up the purpose of the show, which is I've identified a series of neuroscience research projects that have found that there are biological changes occurring in our brains when we get into our 50s that invite a creative renewal. This just seems like such wonderful good news. We're told so frequently about what are the bad things that happen to our brains as we age? There's a whole cluster of really good things that happen to our brains as we age, and they all can be leveraged into having a nice creative renewal, a nice creative renaissance in your life. We were just talking about setting up the research by Dr. Cabeza from Duke University, and what Dr. Cabeza did as he recruited high-functioning seniors, and he recruited recent college grads to take a series of high-level challenges, high-level problems, scanning equipment on their technology on the brains as they were completing them. And here's what Dr. Cabeza found. What Dr. Cabeza found was that College graduates, when they solve these problems, solve them in a very local and isolated region of their brains. Depending upon the nature of the problem, they solve them in a very local and isolated region of their brains. Us high-functioning seniors, however, we use both hemispheres working together to solve those problems. Both hemispheres working together. Yes, the right hemisphere is associated with creativity, but folks, to get in your most creative brain, your most effective brain, your most intelligent brain, you want the two hemispheres working together. You want the linear plane with the imaginative. You want the logical dancing with the nonlinear, right? You want them working together. And high-functioning seniors, when we take on a problem, we naturally get into a state where our two hemispheres of our brains are integrated. Now, Dr. Cabeza points out, this is not like we all of a sudden acquire some superpower. It's because of neuroplasticity. It's because of the brain is so, so very good at workarounds. And his his sort of analogy for this is, you know, if there was a weight that you could lift with one hand, say you could lift a 30-pound weight with one hand when you're 30, but when you're 60, it takes two hands to lift that weight. That's what's happening to our brains, right? It's not that the brain has all of a sudden developed some magical power. It's that the brain, in its effort to do for you what you are asking it to do, has now found that it needs to integrate the two hemispheres together. And that's a wonderful victory for us. That's a wonderful gain for us to have the two hemispheres of your brains naturally working together. Again, the linear plane with the imaginative, the rational dancing with the intuitive. You want to engage in some physical activity that will reinforce this integration of your two hemispheres. Take a walk. I think I've mentioned that in the show a couple of times, that one of the most effective and efficient ways to get your two hemispheres working together is to take a walk. As soon as you reach your natural rhythmic stride, the two hemispheres are talking to each other and there's a nice latency effect. And us older folks, us gray-haired, silver-haired folks, have the additional benefit of just naturally starting in that place. And so let's double back now here for just a second to Dr. Zeke Barzakis's understanding or a proclamation that there's now a biological explanation for wisdom. Here's what social scientists found back in the 1970s. Some social scientists were trying to study, how do we think? How do we apply our intelligences? How do we think? And they came up with two major styles of thinking. They came up with fluid intelligence and crystallized intelligence. Fluid intelligence is really strong when you're 20, really strong when you're 30 and when you're 40. Fluid intelligence is your ability to recognize patterns, to quickly discern the underlying logic to this new situation that you are a part of. And again, that's strong in our 20s, strong in our 30s, strong in our 40s. This pattern recognition is. I've studied it and I've learned that if you continue to intentionally try to develop your pattern recognition, it doesn't fall off the cliff. You can maintain good, strong pattern recognition in your and good, strong fluid intelligence by challenging it. The other form of intelligence, crystallized intelligence, is when you mine, you revisit all that you know, all that you've experienced, and you're looking for new insights and new relationships. That's our crystallized intelligence. And that starts to get really strong when we're 40 and gets even better when we're 50. And it keeps getting stronger and stronger as long as we are using it. And boy, doesn't that sound like if you take these two together, the fact that our two brains, our two hemispheres are working together, the fact that within that combo, neurons are now communicating with each other more efficiently and more effectively and more rapidly, that sounds like a great biological explanation for wisdom. Here are some of the qualities that show up in this wisdom that we gain as we age. When we're in our 50s, we're so much better at dealing with ambiguity than we were when we were in our 20s. So much better. We're able to make decisions, even though we don't know all that we would like to know, much more effectively in our 60s and 70s than when we were in our 20s and 30s. We're better with ambiguity. We're better, was it F. Scott Fitzgerald who said a sign of an intelligent person? He said man, but I'll say person. A sign of an intelligent person is somebody who can hold two conflicting ideas in their head at the same time and still make decisions. Well, our ability to do that improves, and our crystallized intelligence study shows that we're much better at making decisions when we're dealing with two conflicting ideas. The one that really excites me is that our situational intelligence gets much better, right? The aspect, the facet of you that is just right for this particular situation, you are so much better at identifying that and bringing it to the situation when we're in our 50s, 60s, and 70s than when we were in our 20s and 30s, right? If this is the time for you to bring your humorous side, you'll have a better handle on that. If this is the time to bring your quiet side, you're going to have a better handle on that as you get into your 50s, 60s, and 70s. So this is all great news for those of us who are already of this age. I'm, probably about 2 months away from my 75th birthday, so I'm certainly in this category. But we're all going to get here. So this is going to be good news for all of us at some point. I've got a couple of more research projects to talk to you about. Our break is coming up here, folks. So let's break now and come on back, and I look forward to sharing more with you.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back, and thanks for coming on back. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. In the first two segments, I introduced two major neuroscience research projects that show that our brains, when we are in our mid-50s and thereafter, just there's biological changes that are happening that just invite, almost demand, a creative renewal. In fact, you don't have to do anything to get your two hemispheres working together, so it's going to drop a creative renewal in your lap whether you are intentional about it or not. But please, please, please be intentional. This next topic that I'm going to share with you that neuroscientists have explored, I'm reaching a conclusion that they don't reach. I want to let you know that right up front. They don't reach the same conclusion. Another change that occurs in our brains as we get older is that in the prefrontal cortex, the area that is, in effect, the traffic cop, keeping all distractions out so that you can focus your attention where you want to focus your attention, that area in your prefrontal cortex begins to actually thin, is what I've read. It actually begins to thin, and more inputs are getting in. It's less effective at keeping them out, more and more are getting in. The researchers engaged in this project and their conclusions are, yes, indeed, older people get distracted more easily. And that is true. Older people do get distracted more easily. Our brains can only hold about 5 to 7 bits of information in our short-term working memory. Any new input pushes an old one out. That's why you go into the kitchen and you forget why you went into the kitchen. But here's what it also means. And as a guy that's all about creativity, I get excited about what this also means. It also means that more unexpected inputs get in. Those unexpected inputs get into your thinking in a way that they hadn't before. And you know this is true, how frequently the unexpected thought, the unexpected insight, the new view that you didn't think you were going to be taking but all of a sudden is there for you. So very, very often that's exactly what you need to come up with the original solution, the original thought, the original idea that you're looking for. So again, the researchers are all about looking through the end of the telescope that says, oh, too bad, seniors, you get more easily distracted. I'm looking through the other end of the telescope that says, yeah, those distractions can often be of great service to us in refreshing, reinvigorating, bringing some inspiration to our creative thinking. Here now we have an aggregation of research projects that was reported by the Washington Post, I think it was 2 summers ago now. And when I write the article that's going to cover this show and post it on the Chapelboro website, I will include the link to this article. But the Washington Post writers surveyed a number of research projects into the area of creativity for older folks, for this 55-plus audience. And here's what they found. First of all, there were two clusters of research projects, and each cluster had a couple of different research projects within it. One cluster was measuring creativity as artistry. Right? Those folks that they recruited are folks that dance, folks that sing, folks that play music. They're writing poetry or writing fiction, right? So a creativity picture of that is artistry. The other group of research are folks that were engaged in creativity in their day-to-day lives, right? They're generous in their lives. They're learning new things. They're spending time with other people. They're traveling. They're building community, that cluster of creative activities, which this show focuses on more than the artistry side, although we do bring in poets to talk to you every once in a while. And so here's what the research found in both cases, the multiple research projects found in both cases. And that is, and is there a more important accomplishment than this? That folks, there's a direct correlation between a high level of creativity in our lives to living longer lives and to living longer, more joyful lives. And what is a better accomplishment than that? To live the longest, most joyful life you can possibly live, creativity does that for you. The intentional practice of creative activities, whether they're artistic activities like painting a painting or sculpting a statue, or whether they are day-to-day, inches and minutes kind of creative projects like being humble, being a collaborator, being a good listener, which in both cases, the folks that score high on those creative activities show that they're living longer lives and they're living more joyful lives. And again, I don't know that there's a promise that one could make that would be more impressive than that promise. So it's a great reason for you to intentionally practice your creativity. Folks, I would like to help you intentionally practice your creativity. I mentioned this a couple of shows back. I'd love to do a free creativity exercise for you. Excuse me, a free creativity workshop for you. That's what I meant. I'd love to come and do a free workshop, 60 minutes, 90 minutes for your nonprofit, whether it's your book club, your church group, your community organization. If it's a nonprofit, I would be happy to be there. If you can bring six people into the room, that'd be enough. If you can get 10 to 12, that'd be great. If you can get 20, that'd be awesome. We'll have a party. So please, I'll share my email with you here, carlnordgren14@gmail.com. I'll also put it in the column. You'll find it there. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.